All right, so this morning we're going to talk about thoughts. More specifically, thoughts that are fleeting, thoughts that may be wandering thoughts. So, how deceitful is the human heart that tricks the mind into incoherent, unorganizable thoughts? How easily ensnared are our minds by the world? We come to church. We come here to receive the Word of God, to study it, to pray on it, and then hopefully we put it into action. We gather here as brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, grandmas and grandpas, all the children of God. A few weeks ago, Pastor Norm delivered a message that got me thinking. Now, initially, my thoughts were good. They were good in intention, inspiring thoughts even. However, as I began to dwell on it and think even further and deeper, I began to think of the reality and truth of some things. These thoughts led me to thinking about anxiety and depression, terrorism, occult, and on my thoughts went. Nothing organized, nothing coherent, all leading me to feel somewhat confused and almost helplessly lost in my mind. Have any of you done this? Have any of you felt that way? Maybe after hearing a story on the news, reading a book, or in a conversation with a friend. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says this: "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, what exactly is Paul getting at here? At this time, the church of Corinth, there was rampant immorality of all kinds: spiritual immorality, sexual immorality. There was infighting in God's church. The Corinthians totally missed the point when Paul uttered those words, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." They allowed themselves to have wandering thoughts. In those thoughts, they produced doubt. And all of this to say that they had allowed themselves to be led astray. They were in conformity with the ways of the world. Even though Paul stood before them, urging, pleading, and persuading them to be careful not to let their minds wander, to stand firm in their faith. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Pastor Norm read this message already a few weeks ago, but I'm going to read it again for you as it demonstrates the urgency, emphasis, and vital importance found in taking captive every thought, then making your mind obedient to Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So fast forward now a few years to the year 1762. A man by the name of John Wesley preached a sermon on this very matter of thought, more specifically wandering thoughts. John Wesley preached this sermon to clear up some misunderstandings with regards to the doctrine of entire sanctification. He was accused of others in different denominations of making the path to heaven too difficult. Reverend Wesley differed, and he explained himself. He says this: "But many times we are not only without God in the world, but also fighting against him. As there is in every man, by nature, a carnal mind, which is enmity against God. No wonder, therefore, that men abound with unbelieving thoughts, either saying in their hearts, 'There is no God,' or questioning, if not denying, his power or wisdom, his mercy or justice or holiness. No wonder that they so often doubt of his providence, at least of its extending to all events, or that even though they allow it, they still entertain murmuring or repining thoughts. Nearly related to these and frequently connected with them are proud and vain imaginations. Again, sometimes they are taken up with angry, malicious, or revengeful thoughts, at other times with airy scenes of pleasure, whether of scenes or imagination, whereby the earthly sensual mind becomes more earthly and sensual still. Now by all these, they make flat war with God. These are wandering thoughts of the highest kind." We see here in that statement, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So here may I present another thought, more to do with today, more specifically with regard to certain exceptions the overall church is making, more specifically with regards to homosexuality, the sanctity of life, and yet most importantly, living from Scripture, leading holy, faithful, and trusting lives. That is to rely entirely on God and his word. I would also like to say that this is not to attack, but to make aware to those who may be thinking otherwise, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. In making exceptions and encouraging them, we do not understand that we have waged war against God, that we have in our hearts created that enmity with God. We have become enemies. In those thoughts of the highest kind, we have slapped away the hand of salvation. We have said this: "I don't need you, Christ. I can save myself. I know what is best for me." In this, we turn to works, not of the ones prepared in advance for us to do, but the ones that glorify God, but those that are of the self, or of the world, if you wish. We have taken up with every kind of malice, anger, slander, adultery, vengefulness, every kind of wickedness that is worldly folly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says this: "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. So if we then have been born again of the spirit, and then this gained the wisdom of the spirit, which is from God, how can we have wandering thoughts? Why then are our thoughts still of the spirit of the world, at least in part?" Another man who in his time saw things being done that were not of God, the Son, nor of the Spirit, a man by the name of Martin Luther. He said this of man-made works, worldly thought, and he speaks to how we have these thoughts, which give birth to worldly works. But he offers hope in the fact that we can be freed from self, from those self-contemplated, self-manifested, self-meditations, those thoughts, as John Wesley called them, thoughts of the highest kind. Martin Luther quotes Galatians 5:17. Excuse me. So Galatians 5:17, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit contrary to the sinful nature." Here Luther makes a statement that speaks to the origin of our wandering thoughts, that the truth of the matter is that we harbor a sinful nature, that we will sometimes turn from our trust in God to our own thoughts, thoughts that are contrary to the very nature of God. Martin Luther goes on to say this regarding the inner works of the worldly thinker, yet proclaims to be that of a Christian. Martin Luther says this, "Such works produce nothing but hypocrites. On the other hand, it will not harm the soul if the body is clothed in secular dress, dwells in uncensored places, eats and drinks as others do, does not pray aloud, and neglects to do all of the above-mentioned things which hypocrites can do." We desire what is contrary to the nature of God. We seek to please men. We try to keep up with the Joneses. We think ill of our neighbor. We curse authority, as vile as it might be. We watch secular programming on TV. We listen to secular music. We only half follow, half worship. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We become just as the hypocrites are. We pray to the Lord lofty outward prayers. Yet in our hearts we are praying, "I thank you, Father, that I am not like other men." We sacrifice the things that the Lord has called us to be, those prepared in advance good works, for what he hates and does not want for us to be. But here's the good news. The news of salvation and redemption, the news that we can turn from those wandering thoughts. We can turn from our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. Martin Luther, John Wesley, and the Apostle Paul are all in agreement. Here's how. I encourage all of you to follow along. Pay close attention. Stamp what the Lord has to say through our past friends to your hearts and burn it into our minds. First, let's look at the fact that there is only one path to corrected thought. By this, I'm referring to being as of the same mind as Christ, of the same heart, of the same love. That is, we are free from worldly thoughts and ways, free from worldly knowledge, which we know to all be folly. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus says this to Martha as she wept for Lazarus. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Here it is stated emphatically that we who believe, though we die to ourselves, we live. We are made again new. We are made alive again in the resurrection that is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are new creations, and being a new creation, our minds are also made again new, resurrected, fresh, in being one with Christ through the Spirit. John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus says this, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And again, in John chapter 8, verse 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And again, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And again, in Romans 10, verse 9, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Are we starting to get the picture? So now back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Being that Jesus is Lord and that he is the resurrection and the life, and we are born again, resurrected to be more Christ-like in nature, shutting off the sinful nature and clothing ourselves in Christ, then that means our thoughts need to be more Christ-like in nature as well. If we do this, we will be free indeed. If we believe that Christ died for the ungodly and rose again, and that he ascended into the heavenly realms to prepare a place for us, and that he will come again, if we wish to see that place which Christ ascended to prepare for us, then we must take hold of Christ in our hearts and in our minds. We must become more Christ-like in thought, in heart, and ultimately in our souls. There is no other way to that place except through Christ Jesus. Here's one more proof from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully in the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you holy is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." So let us focus on the grace of God, for this is the way to true freedom. Freedom from the world and its law, freedom from the law of sin, which leads us to worldly works, self-contemplation, meditation. I speak of that in worldly terms. As Martin Luther further states, furthermore, put aside all kinds of works, even contemplation, meditation, and all that the soul can do. Does not help. One thing, and only one thing, is necessary for Christian life: righteousness and freedom. That one thing is the most holy word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Fleeting thoughts, how treacherous. Wandering thoughts, how vile. Let us cast off these thoughts that hinder and bind, these thoughts that cause us to be separated from God, these thoughts that cause us to be angry, malicious, adulterous, and slanderous. Let us set our sights on thoughts on the greatest of God's heavenly treasures, the treasure found in God's grace. Let's clothe ourselves in the very character of Christ, being humble, meek, patient, kind, full of love and grace and mercy. Let us be rich in these treasures and thoughts so that we may inherit that place that Christ has gone ahead to prepare for us in advance. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now to ask for your grace to be poured out here in this place, that all of us may seek in earnest and in haste to be more like Jesus, your Son. Humble, kind, graceful, merciful, and full of your love. We pray that you would keep our thoughts from wandering like the wind, blowing here and there, going nowhere in particular. We pray that we would not conform to the ways of this world, that we would stand fast on your word, that we would have eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that are not calloused, so that we might understand you more. Here we stand, Father, knocking at your door, asking for your knowledge and wisdom, seeking your will for us as a church and as individuals. We wait on you, Father, eager to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.